both candidates honestly had a strong night. Governor Cooper came out on the attack pretty much immediately. It was really 15, 20 seconds into his opening statements.
You didn't ask me this, but I think it was a great day for, it was a great day for VP Biden.
A new single day high of COVID-19 cases. Cooper and Forrest spar in their only scheduled debate, and a surge of early voters. I'm Jeff Tiberi. Time to get caught up on the week in state politics. This is the WUNC Politics Podcast. Here to help us review some of what happened in state politics are Clark Reamer, a former chair of the North Carolina Young Republicans, and Aisha Du. She's with Higher Heights, a progressive organization working to help more black women get elected to public office. Glad to have you both back.
Glad to be here.
We have convened Friday morning via Zoom. Across the state, more than 330,000 people voted on the first day of early voting. That is a new single-day early voting record. And it is just about twice as many voters who cast ballots on the first day of early voting 4 years ago. Lines of hundreds of people formed hours before the polls opened in some places. As these images of meandering lines and reports of lengthy wait times emerged throughout Thursday on social media, I'm wondering what was going through your minds. Aisha?
It's great to see people participating in the process. And of course, my hope is that people can stay in line. And I think a part of the reason, of course, we have the lines at this point is because people are getting up early. I've not seen voting be such a group process and such an exciting process in a really long time. I mean, I saw people who camped out at the polls starting at 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Just so they could be the first ones in line. And I will say that at least in some places in Mecklenburg County, it's encouraging that they're still only taking about 15 minutes to vote or to get in and out. And from what I can see in some other places, I think even this morning, people were waiting in Raleigh for an hour in line. So, you know, I hope that it's still accessible and that the lines are not because of lack of access. But it's really quite encouraging to see people out voting in record numbers.
Yeah, it's always great to see people voting. I've heard that we are going to surpass probably 1 million voters in North Carolina projected this afternoon, which is great. We haven't seen an election like this. Clearly, the pandemic has pushed people to absentee or early votes. I think we'll see the same pattern that we've probably seen in the past, which is a big spike at the beginning of early voting. It slows down a little bit in the middle of the 14-day period and then comes right back up at the end as people realize they have their last chance to get in an early absentee vote. So, and also I think you've seen the effects of social distancing in the line are going to make them be perceived longer. There are certainly still more people there. I'm not arguing that. But what I will say is that, you know, trying to take all necessary measures for safety is going to make the lines definitely drag out more than they would have in the past.
So I've seen some data this morning and some conversation about how Republican participation is up. Democratic participation Democrats typically utilize the early voting period in greater numbers than Republicans and undecided voters. But I'm wondering from each of you if you have a sense of why. I mean, twice as many people voted early yesterday as did on the first day of early voting in 2016. We've been stuck inside to some extent with the pandemic. There are these concerns over the Postal Service. I think there's obviously a lot of energy over these two candidates, over the president. There's a lot of volatility. But why is it to you, if there's one kind of overarching reason as to why we're seeing this jump? Clark?
I think the biggest thing, you know, there's huge voter enthusiasm. And I think there's still concerns that Election Day may be even longer lines. And so people are just trying to get early and done. He's also seen massive pushes that we really haven't seen before. Through social media and on Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, even Snapchat, of get out to vote, have a plan. I think I've seen several of my friends who are like, well, I've been registered to vote since I've been 18. How do I get them to stop asking me to register to vote? But, you know, those pushes, I think, are having an effect in bringing out turnout. So that's a great thing.
I would agree that there's so much more participation in different ways especially through digital outreach, right? So normally there would be more people on the ground canvassing, but we can phone bank, we can also text bank. And I too have seen people who are not necessarily political at all asking everyone to make their vote plan. So that used to be the language of the campaign staffer, and now it's the language and understanding of the everyday person that they need to make a vote plan. And I agree. I think that people are, you know, they want to make sure that their votes counted. We've been telling people to get out and since we have the benefit of early voting in North Carolina. So people aren't waiting. And I'll add, I think that we'll see how the numbers for the independents break. But at this point, I think that people are honestly also voting for change up and down the ballot. And I think that people are also more aware of what it means to actually vote, not just for the president of the United States, but to really vote for folks from the courthouse to the White House. So it'll be interesting to see how all of those numbers trend if we get data back.
It'll be interesting to see as well as we start to get more data to what extent the early vote and the mail-in vote is cannibalizing in what in politics we often call 4-4 voters, who are voters that come every year, and it's just they're moving from election day to either early voting or mail-in voting versus your occasional voters that are actually coming out. I think you're going to see, you know, we saw huge turnout in 2016. I think you're going to see similar numbers this year. But it'll be interesting to see how that breaks out.
And I would actually agree with Clark on that also, right? But we have created a new electorate every single year since 2016 also. So I'm very interested in seeing the numbers of the voters we would normally count on and the new voters.
Voter turnout here in North Carolina has never exceeded 70%. A lot of people who I've talked to here in recent weeks and months have said they think there's a really good chance that we will see north of 70% participation among registered voters here in North Carolina once this election season is all the way through. Meanwhile, yesterday, North Carolina reported its single highest day of new COVID-19 cases, more than 2,500. President Donald Trump visited Greenville, did not wear a mask. His supporters gathered, mostly without masks and not adhering to CDC social distancing guidelines. Last night at a town hall in Miami, Trump effectively confirmed a New York Times report that he owes some $400 million to creditors. He also did not denounce QAnon when asked to do so. Clark, another tough day for the president, or just another day?
Yeah, I think another day. And then capped it off by retweeting Babylon Bee before that comes up. So it was interesting. I think that we may be seeing the president. We've seen significant erosion in his polling position in North Carolina, I think, since the debates and the COVID diagnosis. I don't know how much more of these one-day stories will change the electorate at this point. So that's why I'm going to say another day.
You didn't ask me this, but I think it was a great day for for VP Biden. You know, it was really great for him to do the town hall and to talk and connect to the people. Right now, people are voting. Every day is effectively election day between now and our final day, right? And so at the end of the day, I don't know that people are going to be persuaded one way or the other by what the president is doing in this moment. I think that, you know, people are making up their minds. I saw a little straw poll that basically showed they're not really a lot of undecided voters. So I take that to think that people are going to vote for VP Biden and Senator Harris.
Clark, I hope this does not feel like a piling on follow-up question, but I had it in my notes, and I think you effectively answered this, but I'm going to ask it maybe in a slightly different way. You mentioned the polls. I've talked to several Republicans who are very concerned with the way this is trending for Trump in North Carolina, also nationally, but In addition, as we talk about the U.S. Senate race, potentially, right in your office, in your backyard, so to speak, legislative races, there is a concern among some Republicans who I've talked to about this is not trending in a favorable way for y'all. Do you feel that way? Like, do you feel like the walls are closing in or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. I think there's some decent data, and what we are somewhat seeing on the ground is that we've got some localization of even the state Senate or U.S. Senate race, which normally is a broad national race. We've got some local issues that may be affecting it more than national trends. And especially in our legislative races, what I've heard is we really haven't seen carryover effect. People are kind of making up their minds on the president and then evaluating the other races independently. So I still feel good about our overall chances in our state legislative races. I think Tillis is going to close it out and win the Senate race. And I think he's done a very good job. So it's certainly always a concern when you see the national trend line going against you. But I think we've done a very effective job of localizing our races.
Governor Roy Cooper and Republican challenger Dan Forrest met for their only scheduled debate this week. Confrontational, felt like there was a dose of civility. The pandemic served as really the dominant topic, with Cooper almost uncharacteristically going on the attack at several points. Forrest continued to criticize the governor for what he says have been overly restrictive safety measures. Reminder, Forrest has been trailing in the polls in this race. And I'm wondering how you think he best helped his cause in changing the course of this contest, if you think he did.
You know, I think that Governor Cooper has done a tremendous job with communicating with people. Every time we end up in some type of crisis, be it a storm or unfortunately COVID, he doesn't waste time talking to the people. So this is not a relationship that's being built from one debate. So I believe that he is really leading on keeping people safe. For us to have the highest COVID numbers we've had in a while means that his restrictions aren't too much. I guess they might be too much for people who haven't lost anyone. And in my sphere, we've lost people to COVID. So it's really hard for me to say that what he's doing is too much. And I think the majority of the people of North Carolina feel that way. You know, there's definitely a very vocal minority on this issue, but I think the numbers are going to that in Governor Cooper's continued relationship with the people that he's going to come out as the winner at the end of the night.
I think Lieutenant Governor Forrest did an important thing during the debate, which was show himself to be a serious and responsible alternative to Governor Cooper. Both candidates honestly had a strong night. Governor Cooper came out on the attack pretty much immediately. It was really 15, 20 seconds into his opening statements, which I thought was an unusual look for an incumbent governor to just go immediately on the attack against his opponent. I won't say whether it was effective or not, or I can't say whether it was effective or not, but it was, to me, unusual. But I do think that, you know, for the most part, both of them showed themselves to be capable, serious men and leaders who were want what's best for the state, while they have very different ideas about what that is. And I think that Lieutenant Governor Forrest was strong in showing perhaps some of the arbitrariness of some of the restrictions. And I think there's been some winds of change on that, especially, you know, we had the situation a few weeks ago where you couldn't have more than 50 people in a 20,000 person stadium. And, you know, some of those are real head scratchers of how one situation is different from another.
Briefly from each of you, do you think that this race is truly still in play? Is there, how do I want to ask this? Based on the polls we've seen, a lot of the polls have been outside of the margin of error. Forrest has been trailing by double digits. I'm wondering from each of you what you think the pathway is to victory for Dan Forrest. Clark?
Lieutenant Governor Forrest wants to see the President Trump have a good night. That helps him out. I think he has been closing the gap, and he needs undecideds to turn his way in a big way.
I think that this is going to always be a race for the independent voters, right? I mean, that's our biggest growing population, and you see that they're the undecided, or I'm sorry, un independent voters are turning out in great numbers. And I just go back to Governor Cooper has a great relationship with the people, right? He's stayed in communication. He has fostered a relationship with the people of North Carolina. So I think that the people of North Carolina are going to show up for him. And, you know, it's the only polls that matter are the ones on Election Day. And every day is Election Day. So, you know, I still encourage people to get out there and vote and make their voices heard.
Aisha Dhu is with the progressive organization Higher Heights. Clark Reamer is a Republican staff member at the North Carolina General Assembly. Thank you both for the conversation. Enjoy your weekends.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Polls are open this weekend, and we are nearing that November 3rd election day. Glad to have you along. As always, a reminder, you know the deal, WUNC.org to get caught up on much of the other political news and happenings, things we talked about during the conversation today and things we did not get to as well. Tested, still there for you. State of Things segments, still there for you, as well as Embodied. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. One more call out for you. We're hoping to turn the WUNC Politics podcast over to you, the listeners, the voters, in the weeks ahead. So if you're interested in sharing a little bit about whether or not you voted, why you're voting for certain candidates, maybe what race you're most excited about having voted in, shoot me an email, jtibiri@wunc.org, or find me on Twitter at @j_TIBS. For Aisha and Clark, my name is Jeff Tibiri. We'll talk to you again soon. Can you say Cooper?
Cooper.
Forest.
Forest. Donald Trump. Dubai. 2020. The U.
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 N.
N.
C.
C.
Bye.
Bye.